1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This message is not mine. It's from a friend of mine who has been sending sermons to me for years in email. His name is Pastor Dan Parton from Timberline Baptist Church. He has an excellent ministry, and he does that, and these are some good sermons, and I thought this would be a good one to share with us tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter number 20. Verse number 20, I mean. I'm out of breath. I'll start reading. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Verse number 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by our rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Verse number 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I want to preach shortly here a message called The Effect of Evil Companions. The Effect of Evil Companions. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I need your help. Lord, there's something about being behind Pastor's pulpit here. I know it's your pulpit, really, Jesus, when he's gone and speaking to people at our church. It makes me very nervous. And I'm nervous now, Lord, so I need your help. I think I have a message here that can help me and help others too, Lord. So help us to take heed to it. Holy Ghost, fill us all with your spirit. Keep the distractions down now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. No, truth is not a relevant subject. In other words, truth is not negotiable. There are truths in the Word of God that simply are not negotiable. For example, the doctrine of God is not negotiable. We can't deny that. God is God. The doctrine of Jesus is not negotiable. Jesus is the Son of God. The doctrine of salvation is not negotiable. We are saved by faith through grace. There's nothing else. It's not negotiable. There's no other way besides through Jesus Christ. The doctrine of heaven is not negotiable. Heaven is a real place. And praise God, someday if you're saved, we're going to go there. And I'm looking so much more forward to that as I get older. And I'm not that old yet, Mr. Moore always likes to remind me, but I'm getting there. The doctrine of the second coming of Christ is not negotiable. Jesus will come again. He said it, that settles it, and there's many hundreds of verses that can prove it throughout the books of Thessalonians. Pastor did a verse-by-verse study through the book of Thessalonians years ago and put a star next to every verse that had anything mentioned about the second coming. And I have all kinds of stars in my one Bible from when we did that study. There's many, many verses in the Bible. It's unnegotiable. The doctrine of the Trinity is not negotiable. God exists in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's not negotiable. The doctrine of creation is not negotiable. God created all things in 6 days. I hope some of you are going to that creation science seminar we're having. I wish I could go. We're going to the soccer tournament. And I got to go visit my Wallace P. Junkle. Has to go visit some of his friends that he talks to online. Hey, have any of you guys hear this? A million DanWins.com points for you. The first one who posts a message to me that says, "You're crazy, Brother Frank." You hear that? All right. All these cannot be denied. The doctrine of preservation is not negotiable. God preserved his word of God. The Bible is preserved. It's not negotiable. This is I hold in my hand the actual words of God. It's not negotiable. No one can change my mind on it. No one can change the facts of these. All of these can be denied, but denial does not change the truth of these doctrines. There are other truths in the Word of God that are often denied but cannot be disproved. Such is the case of this message. It's denied often, but the Bible clearly says in Lamentations 3:51, it says, "Mine eye affecteth my hurt." Acts 4:20 says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." The power you are closest to will affect you. It is either a positive force or a negative force in your life. The companions we choose will affect the way we live. Notice again in our text verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it said, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." For many reasons, this truth is often denied, but it can never be disproved. The effect of evil companions. What effect do evil companions have on us in our life? Life is made up of many relationships. We work, we have family, we have church, etc., different aspects of our life. And each of these will have a special place, should have, and have a special place in your life. Your family should have a special place. Your work should have a special place. Your friends, all different areas. Each of these, there is another to which we will, this is another to which we will give our attention to this message right here. This relationship, the special relationship that we have outside of family, outside of work, relationship with people, where we go, who we hang out with. It is one of the few that we choose. You can't choose who your parents are. You can't choose who your grandparents are. You can't choose your brothers. You can't choose your sisters. I wish we could, but we can't. But you can choose who your companions are. Let me say that again, especially to the young teens in our room who go to public school. Listen, you can choose who your companions are. You adults who work in the workforce, you can choose which one you associate with, which ones you do things with after work. You choose that. You can choose who you run with. No doubt, there are many who can see that. In years past, those who we thought were good companions, in reality, they didn't turn out to be good companions at all, did they? So what damage can companions do to us? What damage can bad companions do to us? I'm going to say number one, they can affect our modesty. 1 Timothy 2, 9-11 says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn silence with all subjection." The companions you choose can apply quite a bit of pressure to you, and for many different ways. They can apply pressure for you how you talk, how you walk, how you act, how and if you even sing. I've been told by those who lead singing up here, there's a good core of people who don't sing in church. I can't imagine it. Someone accused me of, they said the band was playing last week, and I'm up there humming away, and they heard me way over here. Well, good. I'm glad you heard me. If you were singing or humming yourself, you wouldn't have heard me. You don't like my singing? Try to out-sing me, because I sing loud. I love singing. I can't sing, but I love singing. So, who you hang around will affect that. How you dress, how you live. The pressure's on. Be careful. Evil companions can influence you from a Christian professing godliness to a Christian professing ungodliness. I didn't bring this point out, and this message isn't brought out to start saying, women in their pants. And all. No, it's not that. We all know what the Bible talks about in that area. This is the bottom line, that last sentence I just read. Evil companions can influence you from a Christian professing godliness to a Christian professing ungodliness. That's all I'll say in that. I want to say a lot more. Number one, I said, what can bad companions do? They can affect your modesty. I want to say number two, they can affect your morality. Ephesians 5, 1-7 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness Let it not once be named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Bad companions can affect your morality. There is a great loss incurred by the child of God who is influenced to live another way. If the man of God and an evangelist come up here and who study the Word of God, and our pastor studies it intently, and he says these certain things, and you're living a different way, I would check your companions to see if they're leading you in another way, because I think pastor's companion is the Holy Ghost. No, pastor don't know what he's talking about. The evangelist don't know what he's talking about. I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it. And then you've got bad companions and need to check out your companions who you're hanging out with. It's a great loss that can be occurred. You might think you're a godly Christian. You do everything contrary to what pastor says in a lot of areas of morality and modesty. Well, I'll tell you what, the judgment day will come. I know many a day, pastor, they walk in his office and I see it on his shoulders, the heartbreak that he has. And how am I going to get through to some of the ladies in our church, some of the men in our church? Just simple things like dress. It's just simple. If he can't do that, how can he even get to the meatier and weightier matters of the heart, which he so much desires to get beyond into? Salvation and heaven are not an inheritance. So this is not talking about losing our salvation. Here's a true story. There was a girl who had three friends. The one girl had kept herself morally pure, while the other three had not. The three kept on prodding the one girl to do as they had done and become as they were. Finally, the one said, at any moment, probably somebody's heard this before, at any moment, I can be like you, but none of you can ever again be like me. She stayed pure. Could they be forgiven? Yes. Could they become morally pure in God's eyes? Yes. Can they change physically what they become? Nope. An adulterer is always going to be an adulterer. I don't care how much you said before my marriage, after my marriage, an adulterer is always going to have that reproach on them. The Bible's clear. But you can still have a victorious Christian life, but you're going to have that scar on you your whole life. Those who've been divorced know exactly what I'm talking about and how horrible it is. And it's so sad. I hurt greatly for many who have gone through divorce and then got remarried. Divorce isn't as bad. It's the remarriage that's where it makes you an adulterer. Could they be forgiven? Yes. Could they become morally pure in God's eyes? Yes. But can they change physically what they become? No. Bad companions can affect our morality. Be careful that your companions do not change you morally. I'll say number three. Bad companions can affect your manners. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8 and 9 say, finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. The truism really is true. You do become like those whom you run. Your speech will betray you, nothing else. I don't think you're going to learn, ladies, to dye your hair that jet black and wild colors and different streaks from hanging around some of the old godly ladies that walked in the faith. I think some bad companions have influenced you to do that. I don't think you're going to learn to be worldly and hang out in malls, young teenagers, and want to listen and steal music online on the internet. How much stolen music's on your computers? I don't think you're going to learn that from hanging around with some of the godly ladies and godly men in the church. I think you're going to get that from bad companions. How are your manners at home around dinner time? Well, we need to work on that desperately in our family. I didn't grow up being taught good manners. I didn't have a lot of good companions growing up. It's a hard chore for me to have good manners. It's hard. But bad company will affect your manners. I'll say number four. They'll affect your moderation. They'll affect your moderation. Philippians 4:5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Greek word here translates in our English word for probity. Probity is the same as character, decency, honesty, honor, integrity, and principle. It is amazing how the wrong companions can influence our ability to stand for character, decency, honesty, honor, integrity, and principle. Evil companions can even cause us to be ashamed to do what Christians are supposed to do: pray, witness, and pass out tracts. And it is exhibited on the attendance and soul winning. How many people come out for soul winning? Why don't you come out? Maybe some bad companions have affected your moderation. I don't want to be so quiet in here. Look it. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. There's nothing wrong with erring on the side of being conservative. There's nothing wrong with error on being a little more on the good side. You know, teens, you're not going to lose all your fun if you pick more godly friends. And why do you hang around with worldly friends? Why do you got worldly friends? Their face is all over your face. It's obvious that some people in this room hang around with bad companions. It's worn all over your face. It's how you look. You didn't learn that from godly Christians. We didn't learn that Bart Simpson look, you know, the hair flippy dooly uppy. These are minor things. But this comes from hanging around with bad companions. You know that, you know how the men flip their hair up? Where'd that come from? That's a Bart Simpson do. I watched Bart Simpson for 5 minutes one time. I wanted to see what it was like years and years ago when it came out. And I just said, what's the big hoopla? It can't be that bad. It's a stinking comic show. Well, I turned it on. It wasn't even 5 minutes because he was in the cafeteria and at lunchtime, and he was sitting across from his table, and one of his friends was saying something about his mom said, I can't do this no more. And Bart jumps up, and he gets over the table, and he goes, hey, how many times I got to tell you? You don't listen to your mother. You listen to me. It went off, and that was enough for me, and it would never, ever go on again because that's bad companions. I want to say number five, and I'm almost done, Brother Rich. For they affect our motivation. Bad companions can affect our motivation. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. The present world lured Demas away from serving the Lord. You know, sin causes separation and division. Sins like jealousy, bitterness, love for the things of the world, and listening to criticism and gossip. Solomon wrote, a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth cheap friends in Proverbs 16:28. You know, Satan understands the benefits of godly companions, and he will do all he can to destroy that relationship. He understands that he gets us hanging around with the wrong people. We won't be motivated to do anything for Christ. It'll cut us down. The man who just said this right, he knows exactly what I'm talking about because he went through it in the last year or so. And he's got revival back in his heart, and he's going to be preaching in a few minutes, and I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. He's a much better preacher than me. I'm excited for him in his life because he's ditched his bad companions. I want to say in conclusion, I'm just sure there are many more evil effects brought out by evil companions. But this is a good number which to start. I said, number one, evil companions will affect our modesty. You didn't learn to dress the way you did from old-fashioned, godly Christians. They affect our morality. They affect our manners. They affect our moderation. They affect our motivation. I say some in this room will only do better if they change their companions. They have, hey, there's nothing wrong. When I first got saved, I had to get rid of all my friends, and I had a whole bunch of friends. Did I not have a lot of friends, Carol? I had a lot of friends. I tried leading them, a lot of them to the Lord, bringing them to church. I brought a bunch of people to church, and they didn't want to serve the Lord. I had to leave them. I had a friend who was my best friend, and some people are going to say, wow, that's a crazy story, but when we were going to church in Farnham, I still had season tickets for the Buffalo Bills, and on Sunday, my friend wouldn't come to church, but he didn't have a car to go to football games, so he would have to come to church with me. He sat in the church parking lot drinking beer, waiting for me to get done with church, and I would go in the car, and then I would go to the football game with him. That lasted about a half a year, and then I ended up saying, man, this is wrong, this is dead wrong, and the preacher was convicting me big time. I was just saved. And I even quit my season tickets. I didn't even go to Bills game that day anymore, let alone hanging around my evil companions. Again, Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth my heart. And Acts 4:20 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The power you are closest to will affect you. The effect is either negative or it's positive. How are your friends affecting you? Are they affecting you for the things of God? Or are they affecting you for the things of the world? Are you dyeing your hair different colors every week? Some of you ladies are starting to get gray hair. Why you got it? What big deal? That's how God made you. I'm sure the godly older ladies and older men, I just don't think they dyed their hair. Gray is an honor. You didn't learn that from godly Christians. You learned it from the world. You got bad companions, and they're hurting you. And it's hurting the testimony of our church. It's hurting Faith Bible Baptist Church. And it hurts our spirit of our pastor, too. He carries it on his shoulder. He loves every single one in this room dearly. Prays for every one he is. But his heart is broken. And a lot of it is because some of us have bad companions, and it's affecting you. The companions we choose affect the way we live. Notice again, 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. For many good reasons, this is the truth, which often is denied. There's people in this room are denying it right now. But it's never disproved. Are you willing? The Bible says, order my steps in the word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalms 119, 133. Order my steps in the word. Are your steps being ordered by the word of God or by your ungodly companions, your friends that are unsaved maybe? You shouldn't even have an unsaved friend. If you've got an unsaved friend, you're violating the scripture totally. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, right down says it clearly commands us that moms, if your kids, you're allowing your kids to hang around unsaved kids, you're violating the scripture. You're violating Psalm 119, 133. Your steps are not ordered in the word of God. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know, it's a dangerous thing to be an imitator. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his famous essay on self-reliance, says, imitation is suicide. This means I believe that if you try to be anyone other than yourself, you kill your own personality, and you actually kill your own soul. I sometimes think we ought to bring a bill into Congress changing the national symbol from the eagle to the buffalo. Because we are more like buffaloes today than we are like eagles. The eagle is a powerful bird. He flies alone. He rises up with authority into the sky. He is the master of all he surveys. He is an individualist and was selected in the old days from among the rest of the birds to be our symbol. But the buffalo was never alone. He always ran in a herd with the rest of the buffaloes. And friends, I call your attention that the buffaloes are gone from the open range, but the eagles are still here. The lesson's clear. Any nation that becomes a nation of the herd ceases to produce great figures. Where are the great Americans going to come from? Who do we have today? The Chuck Schumers, Hillary Clintons. Where are the statesmen? We chased out Steve Largent and J.C. Watts. Where are the statesmen? We don't have an America because we're a bunch of stinking buffaloes today. Letting our friends influence us instead of being an eagle and rising up. If ever the idea comes to your mind, don't be different because people will think you are peculiar. Remember, Christians are peculiar. Remember what Emerson said. Imitation is suicide. If you try to imitate someone else, you will become second rate. All great thinkers are people who dare to be themselves. And being yourself is not coloring your hair and wearing wild flaming clothes and being a punk and breaking preacher's heart. Being an individualist is getting in the Word of God, begging the Holy Ghost to show you what He has for your life. How many young men in this room and how many young ladies in this room can say that the Lord has called you to preach or He called you in first-time service, but you ignore that call and you're afraid to get in the Word of God because you'll find out that will of God for your life is not hanging around with bad companions who are wearing you down, who are making you break your mom and dad's hearts, breaking preacher's heart, and more sadly of all, breaking Jesus' heart who died for all of us. That's all I got to say today. Bad companions are a detriment to us becoming what God wants us to be. Let's just close with a quick word of prayer, and I'll let Brother Brian come up. Lord Jesus, I know I didn't do this message justice, and Lord, I pray that just something I said would affect someone to make a change in their life, including myself, Lord, to fix our companions, fix the evil influences in our life, the different TVs and websites and different things we do in our life that allow us not to be what God wants us to be. Oh, Lord, help us not to be like the buffalo, who isn't even in existence anymore in freedom. The only time we ever see them, they're in pens locked up, but the eagle still soars free. Help us have some free-thinking people that will study the Word of God and dig in the Word of God and let God use them in a mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.